Welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. I'm here with my co-host, Burl Love. Hi, Burl.
Hi, Sherry. How are you doing?
I'm good. We have a full house today.
We do. I'm excited about our guests because they're my people.
They are your people.
They're my people. Yeah.
So today's guests are people that you probably recognize from various things, but coming together for an event. Today's guests are Dean Gregory, owner of the Montgomery Inn, Steve Frisch, founder of the Rusty Griswolds, and Jeanette Altano from TriHealth, but really like the wind beneath so many charities' wings. They're putting on a big event, and so we're hosting them to talk about it. It's called Rendezvous by the River, and we'll talk about it in the guest segment. But it's a big event, a charitable event.
Labor Day weekend.
For Riverfest.
Riverfest fireworks at the boathouse. Yes, benefits.
So full house.
Men Wear Pink, which is a cause near and dear to my heart and why I said they're my people, because Dean is also an ambassador for Men Wear Pink. So is Steve Frisch from the Rusty Griswolds. And of course, Jeanette is the person who drives us all towards the goal. Also benefits the Friars Club. So we'll talk all about that. But first, Sherry, we have to talk about this whole, what else can we use the money from the railroad sale for? Well, it didn't take long.
It didn't.
So we got to set the stage here. We talked about this a lot on the podcast. The sale of the Cincinnati Southern Railroad, which required a referendum vote. Mm-hmm. It passed. The terms of the sale are such that...
I feel like this is a quiz. Okay,
yes,
go ahead, bro, because of course I know you guys.
The proceeds went into a investment fund. Mm-hmm. So instead of leasing it to Norfolk Southern, we now get a nice little... return on that investment from that $6 billion sale.
The fund's already grown thanks to how the markets are.
To get this passed, everybody took a blood oath to say, oh no, there's not going to be any pet projects with this money. It is going to stay in that fund, and that fund is going to be used for infrastructure, maintenance, and everything the city needs in terms of just maintaining its infrastructure.
You know what? I feel like this is where we went wrong.
Why?
It was every pledge ever except a blood oath. And it's like, why didn't I just say in any one of those press conferences, can you all just prick your fingers and we're going to take a blood oath? It's not them making a suggestion.
Exactly. But that was the concern with all the people who were against that referendum was, when have we ever said, you know, we have this money and it's going to stick to the purpose intended. We have always diluted it. We have always found other things to use that money for. And then we've end up being in the same situation that we were in before, where we don't have the money. In this case, it would be for infrastructure. So already somebody is suggesting.
So not somebody, somebody.
Somebody.
So I get a call last.
Already we have people saying, well, what if we use a little bit of that money for this? So
City
tell
Hall,
us what's going on.
City Hall's on break, and I got a call from somebody. I spy Tom Brinkman at City Hall. I'm like, what? So former state rep, he's done 11 ballot initiatives in his time, you know, really putting ideas to people if this is what you want to do. And he has one right now. I thought the election was kind of locked up right now, but everything we were going to see. But Tom Brinkman said, you know what? I think that we need to take $600 million of the $1.6 billion and create a separate fund. Pull it out of the big fund, create a separate fund, and use it for property tax relief. Now, this is a ballot initiative. He had to, under the rules, alert City Hall. It's kind of how we heard about it. So they're circulating petitions now, which is not to say it's actually going to be on the ballot. And it is a very short window to do this, but he has never failed to get something on the ballot when he has tried. He needs 8,000 ballot signatures, which is very hard to do. But we'll see if he can do it. But you know what it would look like on the ballot?
No.
Do you want $600 million for property tax relief? That is tough to look at and be this moment. Because it wouldn't be, you know, lots of the campaign, of course, will be like, well, it's the railroad versus this. It's this fund versus this. Like, that'll be the talking points in the campaign. But the ballot language will be like, take it from this fund and put it towards, at a time when property taxes are up 28% on average in the county. Now, this would only affect Cincinnatians. but it's at a time where people are feeling the pinch.
Well, all those people who said this would happen are now like, I told you so.
I noticed on Twitter this weekend, Burl, I had to turn all notifications off because I was like tagged in a lot of I told you so.
What did they call roadblocks or what did they call them? Guardrails.
Yeah.
Guardrails. All the guardrails that they put in to effect to make sure that that money wouldn't be
there is a big
diluted.
Question out there if one of the guardrails really would over supersede this, which is the state did have to vote. And there's some state language related to the sale.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to get into.
Does that work? We don't know.
It appears that, I mean, obviously, because this was a referendum, city council could not have done this with a simple city council vote.
Correct.
It seems like that this could happen because it's in the form of a referendum. So you're going back to the voters, back to
the
people. And
the underpinnings of them are the will of the citizens.
Do you know if anybody is going to put some kind of legal,
I think everybody
stage a legal challenge to say, as you were saying, that because the state legislature had to sign off on this too, would they be required to okay?
There's a lot of wait, and so a lot of people are just waiting to see and
if it even passes.
Correct, even gets if it can get to the ballot, and everyone will worry about it then.
Well, there are some probably very smug people out there going, see, I told you so. And that didn't even take, what, less than a year?
Less than yet. I mean, we voted for the railroad sale in November.
Interesting. We will have to see how that plays out. Okay. Well, should we bring on our special guests?
Definitely. Special guest time here on That's So Cincinnati. And by guest, I mean guests.
We have a full studio.
Yes, we do. I'm so excited. Today, we're welcoming Dean Gregory from the Montgomery Inn, Steve Frisch from the Rusty Griswolds, and our personal favorite, no offense, boys, Jeanette Altano from TriHealth, and really repeat guest many times about charitable events. And that is why we're here today. We are talking about many things, but Rendezvous by the River. And so you are organizing an amazing event coming up.
Yeah. So we jump into the event?
Sure. We'd love to.
So first of all, we have to set the stage a little bit here. Dean at the Boathouse has always made the facility available for people who want to raise money, philanthropic organizations. You have dinners, you have auctions. But this is big. This is Labor Day fireworks, and you had an idea.
For
is that
us,
where it started?
Pretty much so.
Jeanette just ask you? Can say no
tell.
To Jeanette, as I know personally. But
Riverfest Day is a day where we probably couldn't open the restaurant because our parking lot would fill up and nobody would leave all day. So we've always had a charitable fundraiser there. And we've had the USO for quite a few years, and they decided they were scaling back. They weren't going to do it this year. So the first person that I thought of was Jeanette, and I called her, and she was thrilled to death, whatever. So we've got a great event planned September 1st at the Boathouse. When you get there, first of all, it's so easy to get to. Pete Rose Way is closed, so there's no traffic other than, you know, coming and going to the Boathouse. So, and when the event's over, you can get out of Dodge so fast, you can get to 71, 75, or Columbia Parkway and won't get caught in any traffic. But you'll arrive. We have cocktail hour, heavy hors d'oeuvres. The Rusty Griswolds will be playing. There's some other things going on. We have a dinner buffet. When the fireworks start, we've got theater seating and a skating rink next to our building, and they're the best seats in town. The fireworks are right in front of your face, whatever. So it's going to be a great night, for sure.
And two main beneficiaries. Real Men Wear Pink anymore. I have to say Men Wear Pink, an organization near and dear to my heart, and the Friars Club. So this is where the Jeanette magic comes in, because you're involved with both organizations. Obviously, you are the person who makes Men Wear Pink happen, but you also are involved with the Friars Club. So what were you thinking when you decided, okay, do I do Men Wear Pink? Do I do Friars Club, or do I just do both? Like, what's that inner monologue in your head? How's that?
So when Dean called me with the opportunity and said that he was looking to create this event that evening, and could I partner with him? Both of us have been so heavily involved in both organizations. Both of them do amazing work in this community. And we've both partnered on the annual dinner for many years, and it just felt like a natural fit, right? I mean, Real Men Wear Pink, the difference that they make in our community every day for people, for cancer warriors and the people who love them. And then Friars Club, where we, their whole mission is keeping families safe, keeping children in off the street. It's certainly focused on athletics, but we have an academic learning center and things like that. And so it was a perfect opportunity for us to pick to an organization that both of us are heavy aligned with and Steve's been involved in. And it was just too perfect. The magic was just there to do it.
I mean, the three of you are all ambassadors for Men Wear Pink.
That's right.
Only Steve dressed up for it, though.
Steve
I have to tell
the
you.
Men Wear Pink.
I know, but he do
actually,
have.
It's the OG. It says Real Men Wear Pink, not Men Wear Pink. But yeah. So the Rusty Griswolds, you haven't been out enjoying the fun events of Cincinnati and not have heard the Rusty Griswolds. So for those who like, what is he talking about? That guy on vacation? I think you're Cincinnati's premier party man, but tell us a little bit about the band and how you got involved with this.
Sure. So it is funny that we're the party band because if you know this, all of us guys individually, we're not much partiers. Yeah. But we have a great time when we get together, that's for sure. So I've known the guys in the band since high school. We started years ago in Oak Hills High School on the west side. And we put the Griswold together back in 1999. We thought we'd get together once a month just for fun and throw our amps up on a chair and play once a month for drinks and food. And 20 some years later, we're still going. It became so much more than we ever thought. But you know, from the band, we've been really blessed with all kinds of opportunities as a musician to get to play special events, but then also recognizing our draw, we were able to turn that into cause for good by helping people out that follow our band around. And years ago, we started the Rusty Ball charity event, which we did for 9 years. And that was really an answer to our following. People that would come celebrate good times, bad times with us while we were playing our shows, they would also call us to play their fundraisers. And the Rusty Ball was meant to be a collaborative event where we could help everybody out. And that we're not doing that event anymore, but we're still doing a number of charity events throughout the year. And this opportunity here at the Boathouse is, again, right in line with that, a collaborative event where we can support American Cancer Society and the Friars Club. So
when you first started to tell me about this event, I thought, well, this is a great idea because when you want to come see the fireworks, you have to have a plan. I mean, back in the day, it was like grab your buddies, grab a cooler, camp out on Serpentine Wall. You know, you're in it for the day. You're getting sunburned. Your car's probably getting towed. That really happened to me 1 year. And that was terrible. But anyway, you have to have a plan. So this is perfect for people who want to just come to the fireworks and have everything taken care of. And you were talking about the ease in and out in the parking. But Jeanette, a little bit about, like, if you purchase a ticket to this event, you're benefiting two great causes. But what's in it for you?
Well, I mean, it's an extraordinary evening, right? I mean, Riverfest has always been a big holiday in Cincinnati. And in this case, you get to have a lovely seated dinner at the Boathouse, chicken and ribs, seated with your friends, open bar, hors d'oeuvres, everything Dean talked about, the great entertainment of the Rusty Griswolds, plus the fireworks, a fabulous live and silent auction. We have some great, a bottle of Pappy for those of you who are bourbon fans. Something really exciting we'll share here for the first time. Wiley Cottle, who is the artist that did the Woodford Derby bottle that we all see every year, is going to be a part of our event that evening. He's going to do live art that will be auctioned off to benefit both of the organizations that evening, and we're thrilled to welcome him to Boathouse. We had dinner with him there this week, and it was lovely to have him there, and I think that's going to be a really fun element that we add into the evening, and just things like that's planned all evening. The really powerful thing about this event, though, is thanks to Dean Gregory and the Gregory family, 100% of every ticket will go to benefiting these two organizations. And you can select if you want your money to go to American Cancer Society, Friars Club, or we can split it up between there. And it's 100% tax deductible, 100% benefits the organization. So this is a chance for all of us as a community to, you know, end summer with a bang, literally, thanks to another Real Men Wear Pink, DJ Hodge, and his team over at iHeart. But to really leave an impact on both of these organizations with the money that you would spend to go out for the evening.
So, Steve, I have to ask you, are you adding to the playlist because this is a fireworks event?
Like, do you mean current music? Because we are an 80s band.
Well,
and they haven't really,
right.
There's been no new 80s music for quite a while.
I'm just thinking of, like, you know, some fireworks soundtrack classics like Smoke on the Water. I know you're an 80s band, but...
You
just
know,
wondering if you guys thought, you know,
that's a really good idea. I need to ponder the fireworks related theme songs from the 80s. Yeah, we'll see. We can work on that.
Okay. So, Dean, we have to get into some of the other great events that happen at the Boathouse. You do a cigar dinner, each one benefits an organization in town. And we should talk about the one coming up because it's an organization not a lot of people think about, but it does a lot of good in town, and that's the boxing program.
Absolutely. We have September the 4th, we have Golden Glove Boxing. About, I think it was 7 years ago, Buddy LaRosa came to me, and, you know, Buddy's been in Golden Glove Boxing forever. And Buddy came to me and goes, hey, would you donate the proceeds from one of your cigar dinners? I'm building a school downtown for my boxers, you know, to keep all the kids in school. Keep them out of trouble. And I said, Buddy, I said, could you get boxing down here? He goes, what do you mean? And I said, what if we had a cigar dinner and we had boxing here? He goes, we can do that. He got the Irish national team to come in. And it just so happens that they would come to the United States every year. They would go to three different cities. The Irish team's coach, sister, lives in Cincinnati. So he made Cincinnati a destination for them so he could visit his sister.
There's
here.
Always like 1 degree
I know,
of separation.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah,
right,
yeah. Yeah. But it's an incredible event. Buddy has a Las Vegas style boxing ring with the lights, the whole bit. He brings it in. We raise money for his fund, but we sell it out every year at 500 people, and it's just an incredible night. You know, a great dinner. You're sitting at your table smoking a cigar, watching 10 boxing matches, and it's amazing. It really is. It's a fun night.
It is a.
So you've done
it.
Right.
I have been to buy. It is a cool thing. Yeah.
You don't have to be a cigar smoker to come. There's plenty of people that
you're outside, so you can get downwind of the cigar smoking if you need to. But man, these amateur boxers are so fun to watch.
They're incredible. Yeah. The first match will be.
And women boxers, too.
Oh, yeah. We have ladies. Every year now, they have ladies. I think the first match is two young people. They're probably 10 and 11. They probably weigh about 70, 75 pounds. And then last year we had the heavyweight champ of Ireland here. I mean, there's a little something for everybody. It's pretty cool.
And plus you got Buddy LaRosa walking around holding court. So that's
not to be missed.
That's a night.
He's amazing.
Uh-huh. Anyway.
And then in October, the cigar dinner benefits Men Wear Pink.
Absolutely. And then that one's huge also. We have a great auction every year that Jeanette and the team put together, and it raises a lot of money to fight cancer. So we're really excited about that. That also happens to be my birthday. I could maybe misbehave a little bit that night. I used to misbehave at all the cigar dinners. Now my wife comes down and helps me work just to keep an eye on me, whatever. So
I don't think it has taken the edge off you at all. And before Dean starts the auction, he always tells a couple of Dean jokes.
Okay.
None of which can be repeated.
No, none of them are politically correct.
On our family podcast.
You know what? That's part of the draw of the dinners, though. It's what you get
absolutely.
When you go.
I think so. Well, Dean, I mean, the Gregory family has been like revered in this town, and you've just kept that going with the how you give back, and especially down at the Boathouse. There must be a list of people waiting to get hooked up to one of your dinners.
There is quite a list. There certainly is, for sure. Man.
Well, what else do we need to know about Rendezvous on the River?
It's going to be the party of the year. The chance to see the Rusty Griswolds, which they do not have the opportunity to play together, the whole band.
We'll get back to that in a minute. But if I want tickets, where do I go?
We'll post it on the Enquirer site.
Yes.
And you can reach out to the American Cancer Society or Friars Club, and we can help with tickets. But we'll put a link up for sure with the post today.
You can buy individual tickets if you want to go.
Individuals.
You can get a table, host all your friends. I think, so this is the first year you guys have done it. My prediction is this will quickly become one of the Labor Day events if
I agree.
You want to get down here.
It's just too perfect. I mean, just the opportunity, again, such gratitude to Dean and his family, but where the venue is, the opportunity to see the fireworks, the band.
Valet parking,
yeah. A table, you know, a seated table where you can have dinner for, you know, a
donation.
And
then everyone's going outside to watch the fireworks?
Right.
Okay.
And know that 100% of your money is going towards benefiting families in this community who, you know.
And no sunburns either.
Right.
Right.
So there's that.
No sunburns.
Air conditioning bathrooms.
Hopefully no getting your car towed unless right. you like skip the valet.
All those little perks.
I know. So how hard was it to get the band back together for this? Because you guys have day jobs, other things going on.
So for this date, it was a bit of a trick. The date falls on one of the guys' anniversary. Our guy lives in Nashville who's always protected his family's anniversaries and birthdays and his family for all the years. So it was a bit of a negotiation, but he's able to come up and it's going to work out. So yeah, the band, you know, used to play 60 days a year and we're now trying to play 12 a year if we can, but it is more of a challenge with some of the guys out of town and the schedules, but always a great time when we get together.
But that's one of the things that makes this so special. He is coming back because it is a commitment to this community. And this was such an unusual opportunity for all of us to really partner together with you, with DJ, with the other men and the Men Wear Pink and the Friars Club to make this a true celebration. And so just even that one story of him being still willing to free up that reserve time to be here.
It's going to be an epic night. I mean, it really is the right party at the right place for the right causes. I think for all of us, like I haven't physically gone to the fireworks in a number of years, but we all have memories of going down and spending the day and getting sunburnt and making a big adventure out of it. And mentally, I just think back like, we're going back, you know, it'll be a good flashback.
And you're right. The spot is a good spot to watch. I was at a fireworks party one year under the suspension bridge. And it seemed like that was going to be a great spot, but it was a hot, muggy night. And as soon as the fireworks started, the first blast of fireworks, that smoke sunk in the valley and was right over top of us. And we didn't see another.
It just lingers, doesn't it?
It just lingers there. Yeah. So hopefully it'll be a clear, breezy night. But even if it's not, you guys are just far enough away, I think.
Was that for pro kids?
I think it was. Were you there too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't remember that much. So I'll take your word for it, or the fireworks were amazing, whichever. But yes.
So,
but you do need these spots because that was a charity event too. And so that was an amazing spot to watch the fireworks. Like, you, really, it elevates it.
Makes a very unique event to be part of and to experience.
Right. As long as your kitchen doesn't catch fire, it should be a good thing.
Yeah, we'll be in good shape for sure. After our party's over that night, all the policemen that work the detail on the riverfront, we have a party for them.
I love that.
Starts about 12:30, 1 o'clock at the boathouse.
I love that. You know, we've heard a lot this summer about the police officers working details because there are so many events. And this summer kind of revealed itself about how difficult that is because they have to volunteer to work the details. And they're working every holiday, every event, and it's all hands on deck pretty much. So we heard a lot about that. That is so nice that you're doing that because we heard about that with the Northside parade and it's time to recognize that they do do that for us, or we couldn't have these events. You can't have them without police officers.
Absolutely.
And my joke about the kitchen was not far-fetched because I've been at an event at the boathouse, one of your cigar dinners, I think, where you were on stage.
I was on a stage doing the raffle, whatever.
Right.
And my wife comes up and goes, there's a fire in the kitchen.
Do we know where Burl was when this started? It was a cigar
shooter. I was sitting right across from
me. I'm just checking.
But I was next to former fire chief Michael Washington when that happened.
Okay.
And I was like, shouldn't you like spring into action now? And he's like, on it. Yeah.
Well,
Car one. He got on a raise. Car, like, one. Car one is already here.
For sure.
Yeah.
We looked up, you could see smoke just pouring out. And it was a fire. It was in the ductwork. It just, you know, it was just burning grease. And it looked like the whole building was going down. But she goes, there's a fire in the kitchen. And I didn't say anything. I didn't want anybody to panic and start running, whatever. And I thought, my guys in the kitchen, you know what to do, whatever. So anyway, it was a rough night, I'll tell you.
But in true form, the fire trucks that responded had pink apparatuses. And because it was October, the firefighters were wearing Real Men Wear Pink t-shirts.
Yeah.
So it was
so cool. Yeah.
And you guys were back in business, what? It only took a few weeks?
We were out about 2 weeks, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
The fire burned the the motor up on the roof. And it's like a 4-ton unit, whatever, that had, and it's not a stock item. It had to be custom made for us and then, you know, shipped in and get a crane to put it on the roof and everything. So
always something with you.
Oh, God, for sure. Most definitely. Man, that's what keeps it exciting.
That's right. Well, speaking of exciting things, we should mention that Jeanette is a 2024 Cincinnati Enquirer Woman of the Year.
Yay! Thank you.
You heard it here first. Actually, we had it in the paper last Sunday. But so that's going to be fun. You
what's got a busy biggest, October. What's the biggest shock about that? That she hasn't been it before.
I'm incredibly honored.
I think, yeah, it's you have a busy October because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. That's when men wear pink, swing into full action. Although it's sort of a year-round cause for you. And I have emails to prove it. Like, yeah.
Has he read those, Jeanette?
Steve and I were talking about it.
It is because cancer impacts families every day of the year, right? It's not just in October. So it's important. And these 30 men only signed up to work with me for 30 days. And over the years, since we started in 2016, all of you, including we have officers from the fire department and the police department we've talked about, again, DJ Hodge from iHeartRadio. These are leaders across our whole system, and all of you have lots of things on your plate. But every year, we kind of find a new way to remind people, not just in October, but all year round, the importance of early screenings, early detection, so that we can have better outcomes in our community. And that we're not worrying about family members and colleagues and things like that. We can find it earlier. We can have much better treatment plans and we can have much better outcomes. So it has turned out to be more of a all year round kind of collaborative effort. And it's having great impacts. We know that the work that these men have done is changing this community for the better. And in the next couple of weeks, probably before September 1st, when Dean hosts all of us, we will cross the $2 million fundraising line in Cincinnati of net dollars that these 30 men have raised. And that's
in not that long of a time.
Right, since 2016. And that's a net. You know, that's a net value into our community. So I'm personally so very grateful for each of you who've answered my, taken my calls and said, yeah, you know, every single person starts out saying the same thing. Every one of my men, well, I'm not sure what I could do to make an impact. And every one of them have created really amazing ways, like this podcast, like this dinner, like this band, to change outcomes. And it changes families' lives every single day. And it's just amazing. It is what makes Cincinnati so very special.
Jeanette even gets people to come out of retirement. So Elliot Isaac, former Cincinnati police chief, left that job. He wanted to kind of stay under the radar. He's the head of safety, de facto police chief for the University of Cincinnati. He's back this year. Because I'm guessing, like most of us, we just can't say no.
He did answer my call, so he's now back on our team.
But it's a great group of guys. They're like, it's just fun to be around everybody too, and all from all different walks of life. You know, like it's still like weird to me that like you know we'll go to Jeanette, we'll say, hey, can you guys get together? We're gonna plan next year, or whatever. And like David Fulcher walks in, you know, and it's like, oh, here's this guy I used to watch on TV, bigger than life. And he's the auctioneer at the cigar dinner. Talk about someone you can't say no to. He's still big and looks like he could take somebody out.
Okay.
So,
right.
So, yeah, just a lot of fun raising money, getting to know these people, getting to know Steve. Rock star in his own right.
Literally.
Yeah.
John last year in October, when he hosted each of you for a radio segment, he termed this team as the best fraternity ever. And I think it's true. It is the best. I watch them and I watch their creative energy when they get together and the ideas that have come from what we've all just kind of.
Are you like their house mother?
Well,
yeah,
maybe.
Something like
there's
that.
There's roles there that are needed.
As I've said many times, it's not the worst job in the world to be surrounded by these 30 amazing, charming, and just incredible men. So
I agree.
It's the gift of a lifetime, truly. This has been. I've done a lot of amazing work in my career, but this one is very special. So,
all right. Well, I'm not rushing summer along, but we are almost there. So I'm very, this is a great kickoff to everything.
Oh, kids are
everything.
Going back to school this week. Ugh. If they're not back already.
Wednesday. Oak Hills. My son goes to Oak Hills. Wednesday's the day.
First
like,
day
is
of
it
school
earlier
feeling.
Than normal? No.
You can feel it in the weather.
It's kind of like a West Side takeover right now. with you, Jeanette, and Steve.
All right.
And again, so Cincinnati, right? Steve and I went to school together. He played my prom. We've known each other since we were literally in high school.
She owes me lunch money.
Probably do. Probably helped me pass more than a few tests. And then, you know, you advance in your careers, and we ended up reconnecting, and I ended up moving the band into my office building to help them be able to operate their nonprofit business without having to go and rent space. And we did the Rusty Ball together for many years, and I served on their board of directors, and now we're doing Men Wear Pink and all the things we get to do in the community. So it goes to show how, you know, only a few years have passed since Homeroom.
Right, right. But it's just a great friendship, great relationship. It's it is all of us just doing our individual skills that just come easy to us individually, but we put them together, and it's pretty powerful when you get a story or a podcast and a place to have an event and a band to perform. It's just it's how community works, really.
Plus, it's almost like you had the wisdom to keep playing 80s rock, knowing it would come back and be like such a popular thing.
Who knew? I can tell you when we started the Griswolds, my family were like, haven't you gotten past the band thing yet? And 20 years later, a lot of my buddies were like, man, I wish I would have learned how to play guitar.
It's just crazy how kids like, so I am involved in some youth activities and I do experiments sometimes. I'll just, you know, randomly yell out, shot through the heart. And they know, they can sing it back. Like they know these songs. And I'm thinking, okay, those songs are 40 years old. When I was in high school, I couldn't name one song from the 40s.
Yeah,
right.
The time game is wild when you look at the time.
But you must have had something up in your mind here to know.
Well, it was like, fun music, fun time.
Like you'll always be marketable playing 80s music.
It's got an audience. I think part of it too is like Guitar Hero, all these different games, right, have really introduced these hits to all generations, and it is generational now. I like to tell a story that we were in high school, you know, these cute girls would come up and say, oh, I think your keyboard player is really cute. I'm like, oh, it's John. Okay, yeah. He's so cute. So now a little bit later, we started the Griswolds, and these girls would come up and say, oh, our mom loves you guys. I'm like, oh,
that's thanks nice. Thank you.
And now we're humble when they come and say, my grandma thinks you guys are so great. But I said I'd rather be generational and still have people care than be forgotten about. So it's really been a great ride.
I like the meme that breaks down positions in a band based on attractiveness to women. So you have a lead singer, guitar player, and there's like five, you know, it's like a little graphic with like five women. Then drummer, maybe three. And then gets to the bass player. And I'm saying this because producer Phil plays bass. Zero. Like the four bass players in the background. No love for the bass players. Anyway.
There might be some truth to that, man.
No. That's not true, Phil. I love you. I'm married, but I love you.
All right. Well, you guys are busy people. We can't thank you enough for coming to our lavishly appointed studios high atop 3rd Street here.
Thank you for doing this. We appreciate
all
the
right.
time.
All right. Thank you so much. Get your tickets to Rendezvous on the River. Say hi to Dean.
Yep. September 1st.
Jam out to the Griswolds.
It's early this year.
All right. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. You know what I love about the podcast sometimes, Burl?
Everything.
It plans all everything. I get to meet so many amazing people. Honestly, that is like the best about it.
I can't believe you haven't met Dean Gregory until today.
I know. I must have been off everywhere. When he was on the podcast before. And of course, obviously, I've probably seen him in the restaurant. We go there.
Yeah.
So that was nice. But it helps me plan all of the things to do.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a good way to start out the week.
Well, you're never lacking things to do. I noticed you had a busy weekend, Sherry, because one, you share it with the world on social media. But like, I think you were everywhere plus hosted a party.
I'm really tired.
How did you do that?
We're recording on a Monday. We don't usually do that. You know what? I said yes to things as, you know, over time without looking at them in order. And then when I looked at them in order, I was like, huh. But I have to tell you, it is possible to do a lot of things every single night. So I went to the I Love the 90s concert at the casino. And then I went to the Bengals game. And both nights, I was asleep by 11. It's what you do after. I maybe made a reference to the fireworks one time where things got a lot out of hand, but that's not all the time. Like, I went, I had a really good time at both things.
What's
the
it like
casino
seeing,
throws a great concert.
Yeah, what's it like seeing a show there? I've not been to a show at the Hard Rock.
It is such
a they set up outside.
Nice venue. Yeah. Of course, we had lovely weather.
Right.
It's on the lawn. The lawn is graded up. And okay. So it like you can see the stage. It's not a huge event space. And so it's very intimate. It is really, I love it. So it's a fun place to go see a concert. So we saw, I Love the 90s, kind of took me back.
Headline with by Vanilla Ice.
And he is the ultimate performer. He still is. You could tell he loves it. He brought people up on stage.
You know what? It's funny you said that because another friend of mine who was at that posted a picture of her literally on stage with Vanilla Ice taking a selfie. And I'm like, that's crazy.
Well, you know what the only thing that kept me from doing it was?
Your pride, your dignity?
No, Burl. I was wearing super high heels. That didn't seem...
Wait, you went to a concert in high heels?
I know. My friends are like, go back in the house and change. I'm like, no, I'm good. But it was fun seeing them on the stage. And it was a nice throwback to like easier times.
Yeah,
there was something to be said for that. So that was fun. And then I did go to the Bengals preseason game. Oh, there was such good energy.
Yeah.
There a lot of excitement.
Yeah. Again, Joe Burrow threw his first preseason touchdown
pass.
So
fun to see.
Isn't that weird to think that?
Yeah. But it was great that he was playing.
Right.
You know, I will say something that really stood out, and I think it was because Joe Burrow was playing his first preseason game. There was a ton of families. Of course, preseason games are less expensive, hence why I was there. But also, I think people thought they could bring their kids. I mean, we were surrounded by children, like families, and that was really nice to see because you don't see that at every game.
Were a lot of those children sporting blonde buzz cuts?
There were a few. It is a thing, you guys. It's definitely, it's on trend.
My sister's a teacher. I can't wait to ask her.
School
starts this week. How many kids walk in? She teaches in the King's School District, which should be like the perfect demographics for a Joe Burrow blonde buzz cut. I think... I'm going to ask her how many kids are wearing the Joe Burrow look this season.
It's easier than the old look.
And it's easier to do that than to procure a backless suit as well. So if you want to channel Joe Burrow, that's the way to go.
Burrow follows Paris Fashion Week. Who knew?
No.
You can't miss any Joe Burrow news in the Enquirer.
That's right. That is absolutely right. So I wasn't quite as crazy as you, but your friend... got my wife all excited.
Julie Worley, friend of the show. She listens every week.
Oh, that's good. Hi, Julie. She was talking about all her preparations because she's a
very serious hiker.
Yes, working on completing the Appalachian Trail in segments, which I think is really cool. And she trains at Bender Mountain. And she was talking about how this is a wonderful trail. You can pick it up a couple different places. An easy place to pick it up is right off of Bender Road. There's parking there. You could pick it up from the College of Mount St. Joe. So we did that hike. And it was fantastic for Ohio because a little bit of elevation, I think maybe 500 feet of elevation, and you are on this really cool ridge overlooking the western part of the Ohio River.
You can see the river. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Beautiful hike. And so that led to, since we were in your neighborhood on the west side, we had not been to West Side Brewing, so we grabbed a beer.
Wow.
I know. This
is shaping up to be a fun day.
We had an early dinner at Nation, the one in the old firehouse, which is a really cool spot there in Westwood.
It's my favorite one.
They were setting up in Westwood for Second Saturday. So as we were leaving, all these booths were getting set up with, all kinds of fun things to do. Westwood's like a little happening place.
It is.
Right,
I went
now
to the West Side Market there last weekend with Michelle Jones. We had a great time. It was like a mini city flea, but not even that mini.
And then this is it. This is like the quintessential moment that was so Cincinnati. Is Lauren and I had never, ever used the Anderson Ferry to cross
this is
into
shocking.
Kentucky. I know. And I think it was in my mind because I had just, we talked about this last week, I had just finished watching the HBO Max documentary on Pete Rose and was reminded of how that was his job when he was a kid, was collecting fares on the ferry. And I
which
don't think
now they take credit cards.
Do they?
This just started.
Really?
Maybe like 6 months ago or less.
When we were doing our preparations online, it still said cash only. But it's a very affordable, easy way. It's $5 a car.
Yes.
You drive right on up if you haven't done it. If you're on foot, it costs 50 whole cents. And it's quick, believe it or not.
We used to take Jack when he was very little as like an amusement park ride. We're like, who wants to go on the Anderson Ferry? And we would just take him right across and ride back.
So, yeah, a little slice of Cincinnati history there.
You guys, if you don't follow the Anderson Ferry on social media, you should.
Why?
The sunrise photos are absolutely, so they post every day and they just like, you kind of get a sense of what the day's like outside. It's beautiful. And I don't know that it's like a real photographer or one of the people who collects money takes the pictures. I don't know, but it's lovely to start the day kind of seeing what's happening on the river.
We were right next to a guy who was thrilled. He hadn't been on the ferry for a long time and he was talking to the guy collecting the money, saying that, when I was a kid, we used to play hooky and get on the ferry, and just kind of reliving his youth. There's so many cool little, like, Cincinnati's good at holding on to its history.
Yes.
For good or bad. But that's
for us, it's the best way to get to the airport now.
You know what? That is, I don't know why you wouldn't.
It's very quick, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's always a fun ride. And it's fun when you have visitors who've not been to bring them back over the ferry and to, like, that's a fun little surprise about Cincinnati.
And I had mad respect for the ferry boat operator because the way he has to like spin that boat around and, you know, get it going there.
It's fun.
And if you think about it, like that would be a bad deal if the ferry operator didn't know what he's doing, because there's anywhere between 6-8 cars, motorcycles, people on that ferry.
Yes,
I wouldn't want to.
They know what they're doing.
They do know what they're doing. All right. Well, should we wrap it up?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks as always for listening to this week's episode of the That's So Cincinnati podcast, a production of The Enquirer and Cincinnati.com.
If you enjoyed the podcast, please give us a rating and share it with a friend who loves all things Cincinnati.
Finally, if you value local journalism, and I know you do, and haven't subscribed for full digital access to Cincinnati.com, now is a great time. Just go to Cincinnati.com, click on the subscribe button, and see the special offer we have waiting for you.
Thanks again and see you next week.